Hi, everyone. I'm Abby Berger. Welcome to Let's Rethink This. Today, we have two very special guests from Vail Place in Minneapolis, and we are going to be talking to them about their experience participating in a clubhouse up there. And it's pretty cool because in Minneapolis, they actually have two very close clubhouses that sit only about 8 miles apart. So these two members, Mark and Sebastian, are from Vail Place Uptown, which is located in Minneapolis. And there's another Vail Place that is located in Hopkins, Minnesota, which is very close to where they're at in Minneapolis. So we're going to be talking to them today about being members of their clubhouse, what they're interested in. They are additionally starting a podcast for their community, which is pretty cool. And we were able to connect a couple of weeks ago just to talk about Independence Center's experience and my experience running this podcast that you guys are all listening to. And so being able to share that with another clubhouse is pretty cool. And we're just going to talk to them about their experiences. So let's get started. Mark, let's start with you and just have you share a little bit about your background and kind of how you got connected to the clubhouse.
Thanks. Thanks for having me. Yeah, interestingly enough, I started at the Hopkins Clubhouse. This was back maybe 2013, and I was working or living in group residential housing. And during the day, they did not like us to be there. They wanted to get their paperwork done. So, and there was only one staff. So they would drive us in our big van over to Hopkins Vail Place, where we would sit until 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And this is not where I wanted to be. I wanted to be with my computers at home because I'm a geek and I love being with my computers and my musical instruments. But what happened is I slowly over the years, I kept returning to Vail Place. I would leave because I would move somewhere else. I moved from Minnetonka, which is near Hopkins, to Crystal, which is farther away. And I came to the Minneapolis Uptown Vail Place. And I came about 4 or 5 times before leaving, each time for a period of months or years, until finally it clicked. And I think that I'm the one who changed. I grew more mature and I could see where the value in Vail Place was and Clubhouse in general. I didn't see the value there. I thought it was a place where people got dumped off, and because of the way that we were. But there's so much to do, that the clubhouse, and we know this, clubhouse can be a part of your life or it can be a large part of your life. And for me, it's a large part of my life. It keeps me going in the morning. I'm up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and by 6 o'clock, I've posted daily schedules on Facebook. I run a 7 o'clock breakfast club meeting. With no staff there. The staff does not require themselves to be anywhere. So I'm basically given the keys to the car and told, go out there and have fun. And that's what I do. I started the Move Your Body initiative, which we're looking at again. It was company-wide, and we might do something with it with Clubhouse International this year, which would be great. And I work snack bar, or I work help in the kitchen or data entry or fill in at the front desk. I just bounce around all over. Like I said, jack of all trades, king of none. I also ran the computer repair program that we had for a while. And I do support our cell phone program that we have, where we own the cell phones and we give them out for free to customers who need to, or clients who need to connect with the clubhouse digitally somehow. So we give them Samsung A11 so they can make their way to meetings. And I do a lot of the repairs for for client and member computers. I should say members. I'm using the wrong terminology entirely. But everyone who's listening, just scratch that and put in member instead of client and consumer. That's basically the what I do. And it's a lot, but it keeps me going every day for 7 or 8 hours. Whereas before, I took my day was spent drinking and playing video games. And with the support of the clubhouse, I've been able to have the strength to quit drinking. And I still play video games, but I tend to get paid to test them now, which is nice.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a big shift in your day to day. So thank you so much for sharing your story.
This is Abby from Daily Disco. I'm a proud sponsor of Dancing with the St. Louis Stars. You can catch me dancing in the event on January 15th at the Ritz-Carlton in St. Louis.
Okay, so Sebastian, do you want to share a little bit about your background and how you became a member at Vail Place?
My name is Sebastian, and I've been a member at Vail Place since 2018. I have moved around a lot. I was originally from Minnesota, right near the border. And at first I thought moving around was a burden, but then I realized, well, hey, I moved around more than most people would move around, so I've learned a lot. And I guess that makes me a jack of all trades in terms of people. I can be very sociable. I have a tendency to talk just a tad bit too much, but then again, it's still funny. That's about it.
Cool. Well, I'm so glad that we were able to schedule this time for me to talk with both of you. I know we connected a couple weeks back to talk about making a podcast and kind of all that goes into creating a podcast to share about the clubhouse and your experiences. So do one of you want to talk about how you got the idea to start a podcast of your own at Vail Place?
I will let Mark answer.
Sure. Well, I've got a background in audio and computers, and I came to Vail Place just before the pandemic, and CJ, one of the advocates, and Sebastian were the AV department, and that was something that I wanted to be part of. That's cool. I enjoy it. Being able to be creative and market at the same time. So we knocked our heads together and came up with a few ideas for projects. And then the pandemic hit. And that got thrown off until about 6 or 7 months ago when we started the AV Club back up. It was, I think, towards the end of summer when we opened up the doors again. Mm-hmm. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, the clubhouse is open. And then Monday and Friday, it's virtual. But we all got together and we thought, well, what's the one thing that we can do that's going to be best suited to our creative needs as well as our marketing needs? And the podcast seemed to be the obvious thing to do. So we're going to do, before we were looking at like Project Stigma and stuff like that. But now what we're thinking about doing is the podcast. When we get the equipment, we have a lot of equipment being ordered in, we'll be able to start writing and start recording. And that's going to be just a lot of fun. I'm hoping to get as many other members involved as possible into our podcast, which we do call the Uptown Down Low.
So Sebastian, have you worked in audio visual space? Like, what's your experience with that?
Let's just say before I became more activated in Vail Place activities, I had no clue. Closest thing I had to anything audio-wise is mixing songs and making music. That's pretty much it. This is pre-Vail Place. After Vail Place, I am trying to learn as much as possible.
That's cool. And it's nice that there are other members at Vail Place that know some things and can teach you. I didn't know a whole lot about audiovisual either. And through creating and launching this podcast, I have learned how to edit and publish and a whole slew of other skills that I didn't have prior to launching it. And I think that's kind of the joy in Clubhouse, is that you get to learn a lot about whatever you're interested in. So I guess, like, what are your hobbies outside of Clubhouse? I know both of you are big gamers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So tell me a little bit about that.
I test for a mod for 7 Days to Die called Darkness Falls. And I've been doing that for about 3 or 4 years, testing that mod. Also used to test back in the Half-Life day. And I was a software developer with a focus on testing and build management back in the early 2000s. And my background is in audio recording and software development. So it's given me a chance to geek out with equipment and to geek out with computers and to be, I love marketing and trying to be creative as I can be every day. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to use this as a marketing tool too. I've got some ideas like taking our donors and the ones who are businesses, writing jingles for them, including them in the podcast. I can write them. Jonathan, who is an advocate at Vail Place Hopkins, is great at just playing the guitar and arranging for guitar. So I thought I'll write some songs, have him arrange them, and put them in there to thank our donors.
And what about you, Sebastian? Like, what's your background? What do you like to do outside of the Clubhouse?
That's pretty easy. Not necessarily this order. Eat, sleep, video game, read, eat, sleep, video game, watch TV, eat, sleep. Whatever. Basically, I have a lot of different side projects that I want to finish, but then I have lose interest. Then I'm like, oh, hey, I want to finish this again. And I try to use the project again, and then I keep forgetting. And then it boils down to, okay, I'm bored. I'm just going to play video games.
So you guys both love video games. So is that how you kind of like got connected and became friends at Vail Place, or how did you two meet each other?
That's a good question.
Project Stigma, which is what CJ and Sebastian were starting up for an AV project. That's when I connected here, but then Sebastian and I connect over video games, but we play vastly different games. Whereas I used to play pretty much MMORPGs, and now I play survival games. And Sebastian, what's your focus? JRPGs?
I don't know the variation. The games I usually play are either ones that bring back nostalgia, like Mario, Zelda, Sonic, basically any game that is considered retro as of today. Spyro.
You guys are really, really digging
this
in.
This literally could take all day to list all the games.
Yeah.
Reel us in.
Yeah. We got to reel this in.
Yeah.
But it is interesting.
All the gamers.
Yeah, and it's interesting to kind of hear you guys talk about it, because I just don't live in that world, that video game world, but I know it can be a really good thing to occupy your time, but also to build connections and build a relationship with other people that played those games too. And I think you both working in the AV club at Vail Place, like, it gives you an opportunity to, one, connect over that, you know, that personal interest, but then also apply some of the skills that you've learned either playing video games or researching them into the work of the clubhouse, which is pretty cool too. And maybe introduce people who have never worked with a mic or never worked with headphones or don't know anything about the computer. Like, it's great for you to be such experts in that and then be able to introduce new people to it.
I'm technically still a novice. The expert is Mark.
Yeah. I've been doing it. Sebastian, I've got like 22 years on you, man. So yes, I've been working with electronics since 83.
Wow. Holy cow.
Built my first computer in 1983.
Holy cow. Seriously?
Yeah.
Amazing. Yeah. That's
like I said, the expert is Mark.
That's cool though. So you guys, when you're in the clubhouse, so tell me a little bit more about your clubhouse for people listening who might not be familiar with what Vail Place is like Independence Center, for example, is a pretty large clubhouse. You know, we're located right in St. Louis and we see a lot of members each day. What is your clubhouse like? Like, what's the physical appearance of it? How many members are coming in? What are you guys doing? What are the units?
Yeah, our clubhouse is actually a mansion. It's a three-story mansion in uptown Minneapolis, which is super hip. At least it was until a while ago. It's gotten run down. As an aside, Minneapolis, since the murder of George Floyd, Minneapolis has lost a lot of police, and the citywide is going downhill a little bit. It's still a beautiful area full of great businesses, but they're not getting much business right now because of the amount of graffiti and broken windows that still need to be replaced. A lot of businesses don't replace their windows right now. They're boarded up, and they have been for a year and a half now because they're afraid that they're going to get smashed again. But Uptown Vail Place is sitting in the heart of Uptown, right across from Lakewood Cemetery, which is a beautiful, beautiful old cemetery. And we get maybe about 25, 30 people a day through the doors right now. And that's low. People have not come back full force where we used to have just for lunch alone. Every day we create a brand new lunch. And we're actually, because it's getting cold out and people can't eat outside anymore, we've changed that. But in general, what we do is every day has a theme. And CJ will cook a fusion, like Belize fusion or Chilean fusion. And the other meal is provided by a member. And so we get like goulash or sloppy joes and fun stuff to make and eat. We had to eat outside because of the pandemic. Now that it's getting colder, we're serving soup and sandwiches that are kept cold in the snack bar fridge, and the snack bar will sell meals now.
A la carte style. Yeah.
A la carte. Yep.
And so you're talking about the ones that are made by members. That's the guest chef.
The guest chef. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And that's a fun thing for a lot of people. I've been trying to get them to make klub, which is a Norwegian delicacy that most people don't know about even, but one day I'll get my club. What else?
What about the units in your clubhouse? Like, how many units do you have and what are their primary purposes?
Well, I'd like to add a little compare and contrast. Outside of Vail Place, they call them units, but inside Vail Place, we call them departments. They're basically the same thing. In terms of how many departments we have, I think we have two major ones, CHD and Business Department. CHD is Community Hospitality Department. And there are other sub-branches. For example, AV is a sub-branch. Anything to add, Mark?
Well, we have the departments that we do have. We have the CHD, which is the Community Hospitality Department, which is the first floor. Then on the second floor, we have the Biz Department, and they take care of all the data entry and money counting and whatnot. And then the third floor is actually a library right now. It was a room with a ton of books in them. We've been able to give away or get rid of most of the books, and what's up there, people can check out. We're putting together a little library computer program so people will be able to check out their book, come grab it, and have something to read.
That's amazing. I love those little free libraries. I don't know if you guys have those in Minneapolis too. I'm sure.
All over.
Oh, yeah,
they're cool.
Over.
Because
you go anywhere on the streets where they have houses, and if you go on specific streets, you'll have a couple of them sitting along the side of the road, but kind of like mailboxes, but they're bookshelves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is amazing because you can just kind of grab a book and pick it up. I know I grabbed one. The last time I walked by, and they're books that you just would never pick up normally. So
yeah,
I love them. That's cool that you guys do that. So tell me a little bit more about Vail Place, because there's two Vail Places. So mm-hmm. Can you explain why are there two Vail Places? How did they start? And then where are they located?
Yeah. Dr. Vail was a person back in the, I don't think he's alive. I don't remember when he died, but Dr. Vail wanted to start a program for people with mental illness in the community. And he went with the clubhouse model in 1980 and opened up Vail Place Hopkins. So Vail Place Hopkins was actually the original Vail Place. With ours coming later on. But Vail Place itself is an hospice agency. There's Vail Place, Vail Place Uptown, and Vail Place Hopkins. And Vail Place, or H2, as Sebastian was saying, does a lot of work with homelessness, of getting people places to live, of getting people resources, of supplying resources, case management. We have a multi-bed facility for people who need help getting started again and have serious and persistent mental illness. Vail Place is pretty freaking big. And every year it seems to get bigger. Even with the pandemic, we've done great numbers with donations and fundraising. I think this year has even blown a few years out of the water during a pandemic.
That's amazing. I didn't know that Vail Place was so big and had so many services. I had no idea that you guys had kind of emergency housing or transitional housing for people that need it. That's really cool. So you guys do something really cool. It's called Tour to Vail. And will you tell us what that's all about?
Well, Tour de Vail this last year celebrated 20 years of being a challenge. And what it is over five days, you commit to walking or running or something for 14 miles. In the 14 miles stands for the amount of times a dollar can be extended in the community to pay for goods and services. So $1 is actually equal to 14. So when you donate $100, you're actually donating $1,400 worth of goods and services. So that's cool. Something that we do in the summer. And it ends with a kind of a party in the parking lot that Hopkins and H2 share, and where we have we'll have ice cream and the Renovators, which is the Hopkins house band. They have their own house band there. The Renovators will usually play music and will, use that for donation and fundraising too. And the end of the 14 miles tends to get a really big turnout too.
That's incredible. I didn't realize it was so big. And I love that you guys focus on how those dollars are spent and how they help the members that you guys are serving, because it is so important to remember that when you give to organizations, organizations know how to spend money effectively for the people that they serve. And so that's great to hear about that. I want to ask you guys how Vail Place has helped you as becoming members. How has Vail Place helped you manage your mental health, manage your mental illness, get back into a daily routine? What's been the most important thing to you?
You want to go first, Sebastian?
Sure. Vail Place has added a sense of structure where there was none. And in all reality, if I hadn't heard of or gone to Vail Place, I would be in a completely different situation, because when I joined when I absolutely needed Vail Place. So it was literally a lifesaver.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's so important to have the resource and be able to get connected and get the services that you need. So now you mentioned coming in and it's a lifesaver at the time. Now, how do you see it for yourself? Is it something that, I guess, are you in a better space with your mental health now?
Yes.
And do you think that, I guess it's different for every member coming in, you know, what you need and how you utilize the clubhouse is different for everybody, because everyone needs different things. So now that you're not in kind of a life or death situation, how is it different in what you do each day?
Well, like I said before, it adds structure. And because of that said structure, then I have a chance to actually release a lot of creativity into a place that requires a lot of creativity. And in that sense, creativity then makes it into a much more pleasant environment.
And Mark, what about you? What do you think?
Oh wow. Not who I was, but what I was before Vail Place, not even, you know, the same body, but a different mind entirely, a different view, different needs. Before I got to Vail Place, I had been drinking hard for a long, long time. I was self-medicating my own mental illness. And when I got to Vail Place, I saw that there was more that could be done with my life, and that more is helping people. So I don't want to sound pompous, but I try to help people every day when I'm there, and that it feels like it's the right thing to do. Before, my day was spent thinking about or attempting to get alcohol, and with the help of Vail Place, indirectly with their help, being able to see what my life could be, I was able to quit over 3 years ago And it's been great. I've dedicated a large chunk of my day to doing veil work, and it's made a massive difference for me.
Well, first of all, congratulations on remaining sober for 3 years. That's incredible. Good for you. I'm glad that you're taking care of your mental health, your physical health.
Yeah. If there's one thing I could say, if anybody out there is wondering how he did it, I got the alcohol out of my system at the hospital, and then I put myself on antabuse, and I take antabuse every day. So if you have been having trouble struggling with sobriety, consider taking antabuse. It's scary, but it works.
And I think, you know, obviously work with your providers, your healthcare providers, and let them know what you're going through and get the help that you need, because your mental health is not going to improve if you have an active substance use issue, because there's a lot of interactions between those medications that make them less effective or ineffective when you have a substance in your system.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. I will tell you that since quitting, my visual symptoms have gone down significantly. So you're very right on that. It was taking my medications and making them ineffective.
Well, congratulations. I can tell from just this conversation how much you've grown over time, because I would have had no idea in speaking with you that you had been through such a hard time of getting to the point that you're at now. And now it's cool to hear about all these new projects that you guys are working on, and that you're able to get into so many different things at your clubhouse in Minneapolis, and then connect with people like me who are in St. Louis and be able to expand your reach and tell people about the work that you're doing, because it's important. I think it's cool to talk about and decrease the stigma around mental illness and just make sure that people are aware that there is help out there and that you can move forward in your life.
Absolutely.
So I want to ask you guys one last question that I've asked every guest that's come on the podcast. And it is, if you could debunk one myth about mental illness, what would it be?
I've had to go into the psych ward a few times. And the thing that always gets me is before the ambulance shows up or whomever is going to pick you up, police show up and they frisk you. And you're sitting there in one of the deepest, darkest times of your life, and you have to go out there and get frisked by some police officers because they're afraid you're carrying a weapon and that you might be homicidal too. And like you said, it's proven that people with mental illness are less likely to hurt people in society than those without.
I would say people with disabilities can actually get a job. The stigma is people with disabilities fail at every chance to get a job. That's not true. I know a lot of people who have disability who have successful jobs.
And there's a lot of people out there working who you don't know have a disability, because it's not a part of their life. Their life is overcoming, not wallowing. And I think that's really important too, is to overcome and to work with your mental illness instead of trying to bang your head against it or just ignore it.
Yeah. I think both of those points are valid and true, in that there is a lot of violence toward people with mental illness. And I think a lot of that is there's media perception and kind of, that's a topic for a whole nother day. But I think that you guys made really great points, and it's been so nice chatting with you and hearing about the work that you're doing. If anybody listening wants to get connected to Vail Place, how can people get in touch with you guys?
So yeah, they can Google Vail Place. That'll have our phone number on there. That'll have our website, which is veilplace.org. Instagram is the Community Clubhouse. And then the phone number is 612-824-8061.
I want to emphasize the spelling of Vail Place. Not a lot of people know the spelling.
My apologies. Vail Place is VAILPLACE.org. VailPlace.org.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for doing this podcast with me. For anybody listening, if you want to follow along with them, we're going to link their handles in our show notes so you can find them easily if you're not a good audio listener like me, and need it in print. It will be in the show notes. And you can also follow our podcast on Instagram at Let's Rethink This Pod, or follow us on social media, Independent Center on all platforms. So we are out there. If you guys are looking for national or local resources, you can also click on our website, www.independentcenter.org, and find a list of local and national resources for mental health, substance use, anything that you're really looking for. And I think that's it, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. It's been such a pleasure talking with you, and we will be back next week.
Thanks for having us.